사랑하는 성도 여러분, 여러분이 심은 것마다 넘치게 거두는
Dear brothers and sisters, last week we looked at the two steps to receive abundant blessings for everything you sow. First, you must cultivate your heart field, and second, you must faithfully keep the Lord's day and offer tithes. It's important to always remember that the core principle of every blessing is the prosperity of your soul and the well-being of your life. When you live faithfully, you're blessed in every area of life. But the purpose of faith is not only to receive blessings on earth. Tilling the soil of the heart, keeping the Sabbath, and giving tithes are not done just for material gain. You keep these simply because it's your duty as children saved by God's love. Just as a parent feels joy and gratitude when a child completes their duties rather than taking it for granted, God also delights in children who faithfully carry out what is right. When Father God sees His children love Him and abide in the truth, He rejoices and blesses them. But God does not bless unconditionally. He gives according to what's sown and in accordance with the law of righteousness. So if you think about it, if you've got a child who goes to tutoring after school, and no matter how much tutoring he gets or how much he's but doesn't receive, you know, good results at school, there's not much the parents can do. It's not like the parents can gift their child a large present for not receiving good grades. It's the same in Christian life as well. You must offer tithes. You must give offerings and do good acts. You must sow in order to reap. You must sow that in a way that pleases God so that God can bless you. Through the word, may you sow and cultivate exactly to God's heart and the law of righteousness and receive abundant blessings. I pray in the name of the Lord that you may experience the grace of the loving Father God in your daily lives. Dear brothers and sisters, the third step to reaping what you sow is not to ask with greed. There is even a saying in the world, to become wealthy, don't chase after riches, make riches come after you. When you cling to wealth and get blinded by greed, you become impatient. Then your ability to discern gets clouded and you stray from the right path, which often results in great loss. Even in faith, you must first abandon greed if you wish to receive material blessings. Greed is idolatry, and God greatly dislikes it. Matthew 6, verse 24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and wealth. You need to choose. Will you choose God or wealth? A side must be chosen. In your faith life, there are times when you must choose to seek your own benefit or to follow the truth, even at a loss. In order to receive, you know, more financial gain, there may be a situation where you need to kind of do illegal acts in order to gain finances. But if you have a heart of untruth, then you may choose the illegal path and think, you know, God will understand because this is the only option in your view. But if you think about it, there's so much lies and deceptions in this world. And, you know, some people with a heart of untruth will use that as an excuse and say there are people worse than them. And that in order to, you know, gain more material finances, that there's no other choice but to follow the wrong path. But this isn't the right way. This is not a way to receive blessings from God. But why do you make excuses for yourself? It's because you've got a heart of greed. If greed is present, you'll make an excuse. Greed can also corrupt faith. For example, you might faithfully give tithes when you don't have much of an income, but later find it burdensome as your income increases, leading to instances where tithes are not offered all the time. For example, if you have, you know, a wage of $1,000, the tithe would only be about $100. But when you earn more money and you end up having a wage of $10,000, you end up having to tithe $1,000. And that's a large gap. It's a big amount compared to $100 of tithe versus $1,000 of tithe. But you need to think very clearly. Your wage has increased tenfold from $1,000 to $10,000. And even if you offer tithes to God for $1,000, you still got a remaining $9,000. You know, there are people that offer 30% of their total income to God. Some people offer up, you know, charity offerings and thanksgiving offerings. And when these people offer a lot of offerings, despite earning more money, they end up lessening their tithes or the other offerings as when their income increases. Because when their income increases, the amount of offering or the amount of tithe also increases. It's like it's very calculating. So when you have $10,000 for your monthly wage, no matter how much offerings and tithes you give to God, and let's consider you give 30%, 70% is still remaining. That's $7,000. That's still a lot of amount. Some people say that they offer a lot to God. But if you have a heart of God, the more blessings you receive, the more money you earn, the more greedy you get. So it's important to get rid of greed in the heart, because as soon as you start earning a lot of money, the 30% that you offer to God becomes a larger amount. And then it almost feels like a waste in the end, the more zeros are added to your 30%. This change of heart, this calculating mind, is something that you need to look back upon. So when this happens and you change your heart and you become more calculating, God has no choice but to stop giving you blessings. The reason to seek material blessings is not to enjoy more ourselves. 1 Timothy 6, verses 7 to 8, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But having food and clothing, we will be content with these." No matter how much wealth is accumulated on earth, it's of no use in heaven. It's important to seek wealth to glorify God through blessings and to save many souls. When seeking material blessings, do not do so out of greed, but for the glory of God. What kind of heart should you have in order not to seek with greed? You know, I'm sure many people find it difficult to find greed deeply rooted in their heart, and they think that they don't have any greed or selfishness. But once they receive blessings, that greed and the selfishness within their heart ends up, you know, opening up into your actions, and you're able to see it. And sometimes those blessings end up becoming even a lesson for you to learn. So you need to look back on yourself and check the kind of heart when you ask God for material blessings, with a heart of greed and without a heart of greed. When greed, first, you must not desire what isn't yours. When greed is present, you're easily tempted by the prospect of gaining income or sudden wealth. This makes it easy to be deceived by wicked people. If you truly rely on God, your heart shouldn't get stirred up with greed by simple words. Our pastor Emeritus Lee used to use this example of, you know, even if a gold the size of a soccer ball is on the ground, if it's not yours, you shouldn't think about taking it. But in reality, if you saw gold the size of a soccer ball, although, I mean, you really wouldn't see gold the size of a soccer ball on the ground, then let's say, you know, there's a piece of gold on the ground. And, you know, in order to find this piece of gold is also not easy to see in everyday life. So in order to understand this a little bit more, easily, you know, it's just looking at other people's items and things and life and being envious and wanting what others have. For example, if you're a student, maybe you see fellow students with better phones, like the latest iPhone or, you know, expensive makeup, and complain and grumble about, you know, you not having the best things in life compared to your fellow students. You might complain to your parent and over-exaggerate and say that everyone's got this or everyone wears this. But it's not like everyone wears it or has it. A lot of people might do. But the fact that you're complaining to your parents saying, you know, everyone has this or everyone wears this, so I need it as well, means that you've got a heart of greed. It's you looking at other people's possessions and wanting the same. It also applies to, you know, skills and beauty, people's appearances. Do you, you know, get sad and discouraged and lose strength when you see other people better, with better skills than you, or who look more handsome or prettier than you? What you should focus on is people with a better faith. But it's, I'm not saying you need to be discouraged when you see other people with better faith. I mean, you need to look at people with better faith and learn from that. And learn from their good points instead of, you know, being jealous or envious of worldly aspects like makeup or good, nice clothing or good cars. It's important to focus on the spiritual aspects. If you have a heart that loves the world and has a heart and have a heart of greed, then you end up looking towards other people's possessions and you become jealous and envious. Of course, you know, if you can gain certain items, then you need to put in the effort to do as best as you can. But, you know, it should be a goal where you live with diligence and try to live to the best of your ability, not for worldly envy and worldly jealousy, to have the best, you know, materials in, you know, in the world compared to others. But to, you know, live with diligence to gain faith, this is something that you should live with, you know, envy and jealousy and greed, because you need to keep pushing forwards. And if you look at social media, like on Instagram, you've got, you know, people that do an opening box videos. And they open up, you know, luxurious brand name bags and makeup and certain items that cost a fortune. That's something you shouldn't be jealous or envious of or greedy of. You need to make sure that your focus is on Christian life, that your greed is for good faith. You need to check and look back on yourself and see what kind of greed, jealousy and envy is rooted in your heart, and pray to get rid of it. Then you can avoid temptation and precisely follow the path guided by God. And, you know, it's important to make sure that you realize that, you know, wanting more, even though you don't put in the effort, is also greed. And it's also not good to like the fact that you gain presents or rewards, even though you don't put in the effort. It's not a good thing. You need to be able to discern properly. Same thing with good compliments, you know. Despite you not putting in the effort, it's important to discern that gaining a lot of compliments isn't the right way. Second, check how you intend to use the blessings received. When Pastor Meritus Lee first received healing from God, his desire was to become a wealthy elder. His prayer didn't focus on food, clothing, or luxurious items for himself, but on the dream of generously helping others in need. And even if Pastor Meritus Lee didn't receive great blessings, it mattered little. Like Apostle Paul's confession, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound," his life was already overflowing with the grace of salvation. So whether or not he received material blessings, Pastor Meritus Lee was simply grateful. But he prayed that he might receive blessings to glorify God, help many souls, and expand God's kingdom. As Pastor Meritus Lee sought without greed and only for the glory of God, the Lord abundantly blessed everything as sown. And the initial heart remained unchanged, a life of sowing and giving solely for souls and for the kingdom of God. Many Christians, you know, say they seek blessings for the kingdom of God. And they say, you know, they need to receive blessings in order to evangelize other people. But Pastor Meritus Lee didn't do so and didn't start in that way. Despite having a lot of debt, Pastor Meritus Lee always offered to God first, always offered sanctuary offerings and vowed to offer to God greatly. And despite having debts, he always offered God first. And it wasn't, you know, for personal glory or for personal benefit. It was for God's glory. So what did God do? Of course, God would bless Pastor Meritus Lee according to what he's sown. He always glorified God. He always offered to God, whether it was for evangelism, ministry, sanctuary offerings. And it's what you've seen so far. You know, Pastor Meritus Lee lived an upright life when, you know, the elderly people in Korea had issues with, you know, their teeth. Pastor Meritus Lee would donate money so that they could receive teeth implants and make sure that, you know, the elderly members were able to eat food. And, you know, sometimes you'll see that when you receive blessings, you will think that you would spend more money for yourselves, but the more blessings you receive from God, the, let's say that you spend 10% out of your whole income for yourself. The more income you, the more blessings you receive in income, that 10% becomes great as well. So you really only stay constant. So many Christians say that they seek blessings for the kingdom of God, but still have greed. If there's greed, many people, after receiving blessings, may give to the Lord for some time, but change and use more for themselves. These people don't realize this change of heart and presence of greed, so they believe they're still seeking blessings for God's glory. Those who seek God's glory without greed will give, support missions, and serve the Lord with their best effort, even if they're not well off. So if you have a heart to glorify God and to offer to God, even if you're not wealthy, even if you are low income, you will still offer to God. But when you say that, you know, you're low income, so you're unable to offer God, then you'll continue to be low income. You know, this sowing and reaping message, offering tithes, all of these messages are important, are so important. And when I prepared the law of sowing and reaping sermons, of course, Pastor Emeritus Lee received all of these messages and prepared all these messages. But when I also look back and prepare for the Sunday services, you know, I receive a lot of inspiration, and it's so easy to receive blessings and reap a lot. For example, you know, personally, I never really emphasized on giving sanctuary offerings, especially for our new sanctuary that's, you know, planned within a couple of years. But this is a great opportunity to receive blessings, because there are certain special events, seasonal events, where, you know, when you offer, and the more you offer, the more blessings you receive. It's like a special event. And sanctuary, the new sanctuary offering, whether you're in Korea or overseas, is a good opportunity for you to glorify God and to offer to God and receive a lot of blessings. And, you know, when I would also save a lot of the money received, especially for during Korean New Year's or Chinese New Year. It's a big event in Korea, so a lot of church members give offerings to me, and I don't think I've ever spent that offering for myself. Like, I always save it, and I don't necessarily name it as sanctuary offerings, but I save it in order to glorify God at specific times. And back in the day, my mother, President Boknim Lee, would used to, you know, buy me clothes and things that I needed. And of course, you know, there are good brands. For example, Nike is a good brand and a little bit expensive. But even if I wasn't able to wear nice clothes or good shoes, like, you know, like a Nike brand, and even if my mother would buy, you know, like a knockoff of Nike, and I would wear that to school, and, you know, my friends or people or the other students around me would say, oh, that's a knockoff brand of Nike, it's not real, it's fake, it still wouldn't worry me, because my heart and my focus was on heaven. So I would always save for God's kingdom. So when we would move sanctuaries or whatever special event was needed for the church, I would offer to God. And when I would receive a little bit of pocket money to spend at school camps or school excursions, I wouldn't use it. I would save it. Of course, there were times when I would buy an ice cream here and there, but I would save that when I was a younger child. I would save every penny, every cent, and offer to God when needed. I would look at my bank account when I was younger, and I would often look at my bank account and see the money in my account grow and be extremely happy, thinking, you know, when can I offer to God next? When are we moving sanctuary so I can offer a special new sanctuary offering? And, you know, it was extremely, it was a very happy time for me, even though I didn't spend for myself. And when my parents would see or comment that I saved a lot, it made me extremely happy. And it's not like they would say, you know, if you didn't save a lot, that they would comment on that. But the fact that I saved and was ready to offer to God, or perhaps, if needed, give charity to others who were worse off than me, it gave me great pleasure. And the way Pastor Maritius Lee lived, always living for other people, not for himself, and the fact that I was able to see that firsthand is a great blessing, and you know, extremely grateful. So even if I had the opportunity to spend a lot of money and live luxuriously, you know, I don't. I still save, and it's a habit, and I'm extremely grateful that I still have this habit of saving. And my sisters, Pastor Megan Lee and Mion Lee, sometimes say that, you know, you have the means, eat a little, you know, well, live a little bit better. But I say that I'm happy the way I am. I'm happy with my life, just in case greed blooms. Because greed is a sin, and if you end up showing greediness once or twice, that ends up becoming a greater greed in your heart. So it's extremely important to always be cautious and stay on the alert. Of course, there's an area in my life where I have loosened up a little bit. After a meal for dessert, I would, you know, grab a cup of coffee. Back in the day, I have always loved coffee, but back in the day, I would see other drinks. There's like Aid, there's fruit juices, there's smoothies, there's crushes, and a lot of these fruit drinks are a couple of dollars more expensive than just, you know, like a simple black coffee. And I would make excuses and say that, you know, these drinks, slushies and smoothies are, you know, full of sugar or full of calories. But these days, I have loosened up a little bit and, you know, sometimes buy these fruit slushies or smoothies. And I sometimes tell Pastor Mion Lee that the fact that I've loosened up and are, you know, is able to buy this fruit drink compared to, you know, cheaper black coffee, that I'm living luxuriously. You know, the fact that I'm able to eat, you know, two meals a day. I mean, I could eat three meals, but, you know, two meals a day is completely fine for me. you know, all, my whole life is I'm completely content the fact that I'm not ill. You know, that there's no debt. This is all a great blessing. But if you've got a heart of greed, sometimes when you receive blessings, you end up becoming calculating. And even if you're, you know, not well off, a lot of people still live with gratitude and rejoice despite a lack of funds. But if you've got a heart of greed, then, you know, you end up not being as thankful. And even though you ask for blessings to glorify God and to give to God, when you end up receiving blessings, you end up not giving to God as you promised or as you said. Next, do not ask God for blessings with greed or impatience, but in accordance with righteousness under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Some people with a tithe of $100 pray to the God to bless them with a tithe of $1,000. Though it's good to have faith to offer $1,000 or more as tithes by receiving blessings, it cannot happen straight away. You must take steps such as tithing $200, $300, and $500. Ignoring these steps and asking God with greed and impatience is not faith. Some who are greedy and impatient recklessly take on debt when their business does well, and expand without checking the conditions. Some people engaged in one line of work see another opportunity to do well and then reach for it. If another opportunity arises, they pursue it and expand blindly. By taking on so much, some people can't properly focus on even a single venture. Eventually, they, you know, if you look at the world as well, you've got people that invest in houses, take on stocks, but it's not like they're a professional in the area of investments. They end up, you know, failing. And some people don't have the means financially, but still, you know, invest in some way or another. So they find themselves in difficulty. Of course, you know, there are people who confess that they're doing these investments to receive blessings and give to God, but despite the intention to give to God, starting ventures erratically can be considered greed. You shouldn't be taking the lead, but discern the points God is giving you. When your ambition takes the lead, there's a desire to do anything that seems good, and that very desire can become greed that blocks the voice of the Holy Spirit. James 4, verses 2 to 3, you lust and do not have, so you commit murder, and you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Keep this verse in mind. May you cast off greed and sow in faith and follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Then God can lead you to the way of blessings and answer you accordingly. Dear brothers and sisters, the fourth step to the blessing of reaping what you sow is to walk in the right path. The third step was to get rid of greed. And we looked at how greed arises and looked at a way to get rid of greed. The fourth step is to walk the right path. You must only work with honesty and integrity. You must keep God's law and obey the laws of the world. Then God can watch over you. You mustn't use shortcuts, deceive others, or stray from the truth to gain easy profit. Even in the world, those who stray from the right path find it difficult to succeed. And even if they stray from the right path and succeed, in the end, they'll end up failing or finding difficulties. For example, a grocery store might cheat with the weighing, or a textile store might cheat with the measurement. appearing as if the stores are giving more than what was paid for, but in reality, a deception to give less. Doing business in dishonest ways may bring profit in the short term, but results in loss in the long run. Not long, the dishonesty gets exposed, and these stores lose customers. You know, these days, in this day and age, you've got a lot of online shopping. And there's the World Wide Web is used greatly. So you end up seeing, like, reviews. So anything dishonest can simply be found. For example, restaurants using, you know, old ingredients or off ingredients. And all of these informations can usually be found on Google. What about stores that never cheat, always doing business honestly? At first, the profit may seem small, but the reputation grows over time and regular customers increase, so the business prospers. Back in the day in Korea, we would have a butcher shop and they would write on the board that for 150 grams, it'll be this, or 200 grams is this price. And when they would buy from the butcher shop, the meat that they bought seemed less than what they expected. So some people would place their meat on the scale at home and find that it wasn't 150 grams or it wasn't 200 grams, it was less. And they ended up being scammed. So sometimes back in the day in Korea, some customers would, you know, give presents or, you know, gifts when the businesses would work or give away properly in an honest way. So this is true in the world. Honesty and integrity are even more important in the Lord. In Genesis, Jacob's diligence when tending his uncle's flocks is recorded. He cared for the livestock, despite cold or heat, day or night, and without rest. He made restitution for anything stolen or torn by wild animals. Though only entrusted to his care and not his own flock, Jacob worked with diligence that God blessed him. Jacob's son Joseph was also a man with integrity. Despite being sold into slavery in a foreign land, he didn't work the bare minimum. Joseph worked with such faithfulness and wisdom that his master entrusted all the household affairs to him and didn't follow up, trusting that it'd be handled well. Due to his character, God was able to open the way for even greater blessings. After shaping him into a good vessel through trials, God appointed Joseph as governor over the land of Egypt. Father God works according to the justice. And, you know, God appointed Joseph as governor over the whole land of Egypt. And even though God plans to appoint Joseph as governor, you know, God cannot just give this position of governor to Joseph when he was younger. You know, Joseph couldn't become a governor under Jacob's care. You know, trials were required to shape him into a good vessel. Joseph's brothers, were they made to sell Joseph as a slave by God? No, it was because it's because Joseph's brothers had a heart of evil, of wickedness, of jealousy, and the heart to, you know, kill Joseph. And it's not that God didn't protect Joseph. God knew that this was a way to appoint Joseph to a higher position. And this is why God says, you know, it was the right path, that everything was prosperous, that everything went well. Just No, if Joseph had not experienced these trials and lived under his parents' care and grew up without any jealousy or, you know, persecutions from his family, then how could Joseph become as a governor? When Joseph worked, you know, in his master's house, the fact that he received wrong persecutions and through a lie ended up being jailed for a very long time. You know, it's not easy to experience these trials, but through these trials, Joseph was able to learn more and look back upon himself and ask himself why he received hatred from his brothers and shaped himself, his heart, into good soil, into a good vessel, so that God can use him. You know, it didn't happen overnight. Joseph overcame all these trials with faith for God. And which is why that when God appointed Joseph as governor, Joseph was able to, you know, fulfill his duty well. Colossians 3, verses 23 to 24. Whatever you do, do your work heartily. You know, this doesn't just apply to Christian life, to church life. It means it applies to everything. Whatever you do, do your work heartily. Do your best, you know, even for worldly matters. As for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. And even if, you know, you are working or have business with worldly people, do so as if it was the Lord Christ whom you serve. Though he served foreigners, Joseph believed in God and worked with integrity and faithfulness, and God rewarded him. No matter how much truth you know or how much you pray, if you don't walk in the right path, God cannot bless you. Only those who are faithful in small matters can be entrusted with greater ones. You must also be honest and diligent before others to be recognized as sincere before God. If you do not build your life on honesty and integrity, and God opens the way to blessings, you still cannot truly claim them as your own. It's important to note 2 points. We've got more to look at. The areas frequently preached from this altar. First, do not engage in financial transactions with fellow church members. Don't ask to borrow money because business looks promising, or ask others to invest. If requests are made to you, you must not comply. Inside the church, you must not discuss worldly business. When material items pass between church members, it gives the devil something to accuse. And of course, in this day and age, you don't have to do it in the church. You can just call, you know, fellow church members throughout the week. But, you know, this is very similar. It's the same heart. God cannot protect you if you go against his word. Just because you're not inside the church doesn't mean that you're not abiding by God's word. The fact that you're trying to call them and, you know, talking to them over the week is exactly the same. So no matter how good the intentions at the beginning, it can lead to broken relationships, temptation, and sin. How can God be pleased if you do these actions? How can God bless you? Another point is to never become a guarantor. The Bible says in many places not to become a guarantor. And let's take a look at a few verses. Proverbs 11:15. He who is a guarantor for a stranger will certainly suffer for it, but he who hates being a guarantor is secure. Proverbs 22:26. Do not be among those who shake hands for loans, among those who become guarantors for debts. Proverbs 6:1-5 says that if you become a guarantor for your neighbor, do not delay. Go quickly and free yourself from the obligation. Like a gazelle from the hunter's hand and a bird from the snare of the fowler, you must save yourself. Reversing a guarantee is more difficult than refusing it in the first place. So don't be a guarantor from the beginning. This applies to worldly people and fellow Christians. You shouldn't ask someone else to be a guarantor for you either. But no matter the amount of times this is said, there are still people who become a guarantor and suffer loss. You know, you claim it was out of loyalty and affection or a response to the other trustworthy person's urgent situation. But who really knows a person's future? If you cannot overcome a momentary sense of guilt and agree to be a guarantor, you'll face trouble time afterwards. Unable to say no is by no means a virtue. It's disobeying the word of God and as foolish and senseless as gambling your possessions and the safety of your family. If you have the means and you've got the money, it's better to just simply give without expecting anything in return. I pray you never become a guarantor, not only for the sake of receiving blessings, but to avoid hardship as well. May you always walk in the truth, sow every seed with honesty and faithfulness, and reap an abundant harvest. Some people criticize that seeking God's blessing is the wrong kind of faith. Some say you shouldn't seek financial prosperity or blessings in this world, but only look to heaven. But 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Just as Jesus hung on a cross, shed his blood and died to set us free from all sin and curse, Jesus also redeemed us from poverty by being poor. He made it so that whatever you ask in faith and in his name, you may receive. But it's important to not ask out of greed, but for the glory of God. It's also important to walk the path of faith and act with honesty and faithfulness. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will receive abundant blessings, contribute to the kingdom of God, diligently sow and reap, and fill your heavenly storehouses."
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cancel sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.